Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Amen. Joshua chapter number 24, look with me in verse number 14. The Bible said, "Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve Him in sincerity and in truth." That word sincerity right there is a very interesting word to study. Go home and study that out in the Greek, and it's very interesting. We need to be sincere in what we do for the Lord. And all of that goes back to the beginning of that verse. If you fear God the way you're supposed to fear God, you will be sincere in what you do for God. Amen. He goes on to say this, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. Listen to what Joshua says, though. "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And the people answered and said, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods." Joshua said this in chapter number 24, verse 15. "Choose you this day whom you'll serve." And I want to preach on this thought with the help of the Lord. If I had a title, I really don't even have one wrote down, but if I had a title, I would title it something like this: some choices that you're going to make this morning. Some choices that you're going to make this morning. Father, I love you. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us for a little while. And God, I pray that thy divine will would be done. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd calm our nerves this morning, God. And I pray that you'd hide us behind the cross of Calvary. God, I pray that people wouldn't see me, God. I pray, Lord, that they wouldn't hear me. But God, I pray, Lord, that they would see and hear you through me today. Save that sinner closest to hell. God, if there's one here out of your will, bring them back close to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Now, the first thought that run through your mind when I said some choices that you're going to make is this: you're not going to make me do anything. You're right, I'm not going to make you do anything, but you will make some choices before this service is over today on what you're going to do with the Lord. Joshua chapter number 24 is very interesting whenever we study it out. I enjoy reading through chapter 24, and there's some things that catch my attention. God is reminding the children of Israel of some things that He done. As you read through chapter 24, you see things like this: "I took, I gave unto Israel, I plagued Israel, I brought your fathers out of Israel, I brought you into the land of the Amorites." He goes on to say, "But I would not have hearkened unto Balaam." And as you read down through here, He says in verse number 12, "I sent the hornets, I have given you a land." Joshua is reminding the people of what God has done for them. He walks them back down through memory lane and reminds them how good our God really is. And can I say something to you today? We do serve a great God today. I've said this many times, but I'll say it again. If we got what we deserve today, each and every one of us would be in hell today. We don't deserve the mercies of God. We don't deserve the grace of God. We don't deserve the goodness of God. But I don't know about you, I sure am thankful for a God that did love me in spite of my condition and in spite of my need, and a God that was willing to give His Son to die for my sins, and a Savior that was willing to come come to earth and die for my sins. We need to be reminded every once in a while about how good God really is to us. It doesn't matter what we're facing. It doesn't matter the storm that we're in. We still serve a good God that has never made a mistake. He's never dropped the ball. He's never done anything wrong. He's never done you wrong. He's never done me wrong. He is a great God today. And he begins to remind them, here's what I've done for you. This is the way I've blessed you. Here's the things that I've done. And Joshua says, as we review the goodness of God, you need to make a decision. Are you going to serve God or not? Are you hearing me? Are you going to serve God or not? Are you going to sell out and serve him or not? Joshua says you need to make a decision. Here's what he says. Note what he says. In verse number 13 or verse number 14, now therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and truth. And he goes on to say, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you'll serve. Whether it was the gods of your fathers on the other side of Egypt, or if it's the true living God. Matter of fact, Elijah gives practically the same challenge. He says, if Baal be God, then serve him. But if God be God, then serve him. And here's what we say so many times. Well, I'm not serving Baal, but are we? Well, I don't have a false God set up in my house, but do you? Can I just say this to you? If it takes precedence over God, then it's a God. Amen. I'm very excited about what the Lord's doing at our church. Somebody say amen. But I'm also very excited that spring gobblers is starting to strut in the field. Somebody say amen, Brother Mark. I know you want to holler. You and Brother Dustin's about to take a lap over there. And I love it, man. I can't wait. I can't wait to open in the morning, to get up early and to hike up the side of a mountain and hear those birds gobble, and there's nothing in the world wrong with that. Somebody say amen. It's really, Brother Lloyd, probably it won't be much longer till you could take that jitterbug. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Sling it out across the lake there as the smoke's coming up off the water right at daybreak, and bring that baby across that water, and they ain't nothing. The only thing better than a large mouth hitting top water is a small mouth hitting top water. Amen. Praise God. I'm excited about it. Matter of fact, I'm excited because the trees are starting to bloom, and Brother Sean and Brother Kevin's going to catch a mess of crappie, and we're going to fry them up. Praise God. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. Hunting becomes Baal when you miss church for it. Fishing becomes Baal when you miss church for it. There's nothing in the world wrong with our kids playing sports. But when we go to missing the house of God for it, it becomes Baal. Look, I am very thankful. I don't know about you, but I'm very thankful that we have those in law enforcement today. I'm very thankful that we have those in emergency services today, and our church is full of both of that. There's nurses sitting here and nurse practitioners. I'm thankful for every bit of that, and I'm thankful that if something goes wrong on Sunday, you're there for me. But if we just pick up overtime to put a little extra money in our pocket when we could be going to the Lord's house, if we're not careful, it will become... Is everybody all right this morning? Y'all going, man, where is Ryan Hayes at? It becomes Baal in our life. And Joshua is saying this, and Elijah is saying, man, you need to choose who you're going to serve and serve him, man. In other words, he says this, quit dilly-dallying around. Quit just flip-flopping back and forth. Now, I have the greatest wife in the world. Hey, well, Miss Christie said amen. I do. I love my wife. I'm telling you, I got the greatest wife in the world. But when it comes to making a choice, every once in a while, Brother Ramsey, I'll look at her and go, you better decide or I'm going to. Whether you like, just make a decision. And you know what everybody says? Well, I don't have a problem making a decision. I can make a decision. Well, you're going to make some choices today. You're going to make some decisions today. You're going to decide some things today in your life. Let me give you two or three things. Number one, this is very topical, but stay with me. It's really what the Lord put on my heart. Number one, you're going to make a choice about salvation today. He said, choose you this day whom you'll serve. You're going to make a choice about salvation today. You see, there's two types of people entered into this building this morning. There's lost people sitting here, and there's saved people sitting here. We're all sinners. Somebody say amen. But there's lost sinners and there's saved sinners sitting here today. And nobody knows whether or not you're truly saved but you. I said that last Sunday. I can't answer for nobody else, but I can answer for me. And let me say, I sure am glad to report to you today that I don't have to worry about it. I'm glad that I know that I'm saved. I'm glad that if something happens to me before tonight, I know where I'll spend eternity. I'm saved today. But you're going to make a choice about salvation. There's some of you sitting here today and you don't know that. Matter of fact, there's some of you sitting here today and probably deep down inside, if you was honest within yourself, you know that you're not saved. It's not even a question about it today. You know that you've never been saved. You know if the Lord comes back or you're called out in death, that hell will be your eternal home. Hear me and hear me well. Choose you this day. You need to make a decision about salvation. And here's the conclusion of that. You will. You will make a decision today. You'll either reject Jesus or you'll accept Him. You'll either say no to hell and yes to heaven, or yes to hell and no to heaven. Nobody else can make that choice for you. It's up to you. Choose you this day. You remember the story in Luke chapter number 23 or 25, one of the two. It's on Calvary and Jesus is being crucified. He's hanging on Calvary and there's two thieves that was crucified with Him. You remember one cried out, if thou be the Christ. Say, he missed heaven by one word. If thou be the Christ. You remember the other one cried out, this man's done nothing wrong. We deserve, now I'm not quoting that verbatim, we deserve what we're getting. And he looked at him and said, Lord, remember me. You know what he was saying? He was saying, I want to be saved. And the Bible goes on to say this, that Jesus looked at him and said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. You see, that day on Calvary, there was one rejected Jesus and one accepted Jesus. And if you sit here today, there's a choice going to be made. The choice of salvation. The choice of salvation. I wish I could make that choice for you. If I could, I would. One of the hardest things in parenting. And some of you may disagree with me, and that's, I'm not going to argue with you. I thought the hardest time in parenting was 6, 7 years old and down. You know, and they're staying up all night and screaming and hollering and all of that. But I've come to the conclusion that Brother Denny, it wasn't those years. Madeline's fixing to turn 21 and graduate nursing school, and she's starting, I guess, her adult life. The day she graduates and passes her nursing test and everything is signed and she's employed, she's going to be paying her own insurance. Somebody say amen. The vehicle's going in her name and she's going to pay taxes on it and all of that. You say, you're not, they got to learn sometime. Are you with me? But one of the hardest things is allowing them to make some choices. And there's sometimes You see them start to make a choice, and within yourself you're wanting to go, whoa. But instead you let them go ahead because they have to learn. Now I'm not talking about something stupid. Are you with me? Making choices. Madeline, she leaves now and drives to Baptist two or three nights a week and doing her preceptorship there. Brother Brian, I can't be there every minute to make the decisions for her. I can't say, you don't need to talk much to that individual because their lifestyle is not like ours. You can love them, be kind to them. Somebody say amen right there. I'll get to sanctification in just a minute. They have to make their own. And when it comes to this thing of salvation, church, hear me and hear me well. I love you. I'll do anything in the world I can do for you. But the only way you'll ever escape hell is by realizing you're lost and choosing this day. Salvation, number one, you need to choose salvation. Number two, some choices you're going to make. After salvation, it all starts there. Can I get an amen? That's where it all starts. After salvation, you need to choose, and listen to me, supplication. Supplication. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about praying. Talking about praying. I'm talking about, the old timers would say it this way, getting a hold of the horns of the altar and praying through, man. Where is the prayer warriors of our churches today? There is some that I will text, and please don't... Please don't get me wrong in what I'm fixing to say. I'm very selective in who I text and ask to pray for me. You say, why? Because when I text somebody and say, hey, I need you to pray for me, I'm being sincere about that, and I'm trusting and believing that you're going to take a minute and you're going to pray for me. And when I go to the pulpit, I have a very few that I'll text every once in a while and I say, hey, I'm preaching in just a little while. Would you please pray for me? I'm telling you what we need in our churches today. We need some more prayer warriors that'll pray. Man, I'm talking about praying through, getting a hold of God. Supplication, choose you this day that you're going to be a prayer warrior. What did the Bible say? To pray without ceasing. You say, preacher, why do you say salvation before supplication? Because if you're not saved, God's not hearing you. You say, how do you get that? Well, he said this in Psalm 66, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear my prayer. What is iniquity? Iniquity is wickedness. Iniquity is sin. And if sin is in my life, God's not going to hear me. And the only way I can get sin out of my life is by going to God and asking Him to forgive me of my sins and hear me and hear me well. When we do that and we're not saved, it is a prayer of repentance for salvation. God's not hearing you if you're not saved. He said to pray without ceasing. I wonder who there is today that'll say, you know what? Here's going to be my prayer. I don't know everybody's name on my side of the church. Are you with me? And you say, I don't have a side. Yeah, you do. You're creatures of habit. Man, look at where you're sitting today, okay? You're a creature of habit. Oh, it don't bother me. Really? Do we even need to, we're in a Baptist church this morning. Do we even need to talk about that? Here's going to be my prayer for this week. God, I don't know everybody that sits in my section, but God, I'm praying for them today. You know who they are. God, would you help them today? And if there's anybody in my section that's lost, God, would you please hang their soul out over hell? And God, every time they start to take a bite of food, may they feel the flames of hell run down their throat. God, every time they take a breath, may it seem hot to them. Somebody say amen. I'm telling you where we're missing it today. We've become limp-wristed and we've become so politically correct that we don't even pray like we should pray. There's a hell that's hot today and souls is dying and going to it. May God break our heart one more time and may we supplicate. May we pray for the lost. You need to choose salvation. You need to choose supplication. When you're saved and you begin to pray, the next step in your life will be sanctification. Yeah, I knew he was going to get quiet right there. Sanctification, separation. He still says this, come out from the world and be ye separate. I have to live in the world, but I do not have to live of the world. Can I say that again? I have to live in the world, but I do not have to live of the world. I can love the world and not love the lifestyle of the world. I can love the soul and not love the sin. Come on, somebody help me preach this morning. I listened to Ryan for 3 nights. I probably got 2 hours worth of preaching this morning. I'm just being real with you today. The sanctification is something that's missing in our churches. Separation. He said, therefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. We're still called to be a separated people today. And if we want to see God continue to work in our church and the spirit of revival continue to stir in our church, we must be separated today. He said, be separated. Be separated today. I want to tell you something. You ought to choose today that you're going to separate from this world. You're going to separate. Can I say this to you? I know people that lives a completely, I'm talking about way off. I wouldn't even say they're in left field. They're in another ball park in another state than I'm playing in. Do you understand what I'm, their lifestyle is completely different than mine. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to love them. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tell them about Jesus. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to shake their hand. You know what I'm going to do when the time's right? I'm going to tell them that God says their sin will send them to hell. Somebody say amen right there. And rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. But I cannot yoke up with them. Somebody say amen. They cannot be my best friend. If we look like the world, we dress like the world, we smell like the world, we do, well, amen, I'm preaching good this morning. We do like the world. Hear me and hear me well. We are the world. And they don't want what we've got because what we've got is the same thing they have. May God raise up a generation that will be separated and sanctified and that will supplicate for the salvation of their soul. He said, choose you this day. You're going to make a choice. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Let me just say this. We're living in a society today. While I'm here, I might as well just go ahead and kill it good and dead. We're living in a society today. We took Friday and slipped away for a little while. And Saturday, we went on up to Asheville on Friday or to Brevard right outside of Asheville and Hendersonville and stayed. And, you know, our family loves to hike. And we hiked Friday evening. And I sent the B&B owners where we were staying. I said, where is a good place to eat? And they told us a good place. Place to eat, and sure enough, man, it was a good place. But here's what made me sick: almost every table sitting in there had a stinking bottle of wine sitting on top of it. And I thought to my soul, I wonder how many of them will walk into church Sunday morning and act like everything's all right and nothing is wrong. You hear me and hear me well. We're still to abstain from that. Woe unto the man that puts strong drink up to his neighbor's mouth. That's just not talking about liquor and moonshine and beer today. That's talking about wine. It's the same thing. God help us. Amen. I feel like preaching this morning. God help us to separate from that today. You said, preacher, I don't agree with it. Well, you've got the right to be wrong if you want to. I'm telling you it's wrong based on the authority of God's word. Well, he turned water into wine. You're exposing your ignorance of the Bible. Amen. It was never a fermented wine. And I'm going to tell you something today, church. In a world that we're living in a world that we're living in, I'm just telling you, we're going to have to draw a line and say this is where it's at. We have a society today. We have a society today. I'm about done, and I'm sure something's fixing to holler amen, but we have a society today that wants to bring the world into the church. I tell you something. One thing just drives me crazy is a dark church. It's a dark church. I'm not a child of darkness. I'm a child of the light. We went, and our family, Brother Matt and Miss Mandy, we went to a concert. I heard the Isaacs and High Road was there. And then the Primitives closed it out. And it tickled me to death because the Primitives walked up on the stage that night. Whenever they walked up on the stage, they looked out through there, One of them took his glasses off and he looked. And he turned around and said, "Somebody go turn the lights on. I can't see anybody." Ain't that what he said? You know what they done? They went and turned the lights on. I woke up and listened to the primitives, and man, they was good. We're living in a society today that's wanting to bring everything from the world, and little by little, they want to start dropping. I'm talking about sanctification today. We've got to make a choice. There's some lines that's been drawn. The music of the world has no place in the house of God. Amen. Has no place in the house of God. You say, "Preacher, we've got visitors today." Well, one thing they're going to know when they leave is where we stand at. It has no place in the house of God. I'm going to tell you something. When we walk up in the house of God, we're to respect the house of God. It's a holy place. It's a sacred place. This right here is a sacred place. We're to respect it and reverence it, and we're to be sanctified. It's a life of sanctification. It's a life of separation, man. He said, choose you this day what you're going to do. Number, wherever we're at. Today, you need to choose a life of service. A life of service. I thought about the story, and I'll give you this. And I'm not trying. I'm not a mean preacher. Y'all know that. I'm not, but I'm going to tell you, there's just some lines need to be drawn. It's where we're at. We're not changing from this. We're not going another way. We're not. He said, "Preacher, they won't come." Okay, whatever you want to believe. They still a crowd that's looking for old time religion. Amen. A life of service. I thought about this. I'm trying to stand still, Brother Corey. You're working to death back there, aren't you? I'm sorry. A life of service. I thought about this. I promise you, I'm about right now done. The story in 1 Kings 17. Elijah goes to that widow lady, and he says, "Here's what I need you to do. I need you to go get me something to eat. Go fix me something to eat." And she says, "I've just got enough for me and my boy. We're going to fix it and die." Brother Mason, he says this, "Cook it for me first." Now, I agree. Just in the flesh, man, you've been a little selfish, ain't you? Y'all say amen. Okay, quit trying to act like you're so dignified this morning. You're being a little selfish, man. But he says, "You fix it for me first. You take care of me first, and if you will, God will take care of you." You know what that little widow lady did? She done exactly what the man of God said to do, even though it didn't make a lick of sense to her. You know what she done? Brother Randy, I believe she was trusting the man of God. She walked in there. She made that little cake. Elijah sat down, ate it. Talked about how great it was. And you know what happened? She went back to the meal barrel. Guess what was in the meal barrel? There's a little bit of meal in there. Enough to sustain them for another day. You know what she done the next day? She made them something to eat. Elijah and her and the boy talked about the goodness of God and the grace of God, how God meets all their needs, and shouted a while, drunk a cup of coffee. Amen. I'm sure they did. Black coffee. I'm sure they drunk it. Are you with me? They got done, went about their day. The next morning, Elijah woke up and was hungry. He said, "How about a little breakfast?" She said, "I'll be back in a minute." She walked out there to the meal barrel. She opened the meal barrel up, and guess what was in the meal barrel? There's enough meal for the day. She got it out. She went in there. They made something to eat, sat around and talked, drunk a cup of black coffee, and went about their day. You know what happened the next day? She went out there. Now, I need to keep preaching, or are y'all getting the gist of the story? Opened the meal barrel, looked down in it, Guess what was in there? Enough meal for the day. She got it out. They eat. They talked about the goodness of God, shouted a while, drunk a cup of black coffee, and went about their day. A little bit of time goes by. Now, Mama comes running to the man of God. She says, "My boy's dead." Boy's been a drastic change that morning in the house. My boy's dead. You know what Elijah does? Elijah goes up to that boy, stretches himself over him three times, and I don't have time to preach all that. Prays over him. The boy comes back to life. Are you with me? They go check the meal barrel. There's meal in it. They eat. They talk about the goodness of God in a whole nother way than they've ever talked about it. Now, you say, "Preacher, why did you say that?" Well, we got to go back to a day when she had to make a choice on whether or not she was going to take heed to the man of God and the words of the man of God and serve God. You know what she could have done? She could have said, "No, Elijah, I don't think I'll do that. I think I'll get it." She had a choice to make, man. "I think I'll get it. We'll eat it and we'll die." You know what God would have done? God would have led him to another widow's house. They would have listened to him, and God would have blessed her, and God would have, and she would have enjoyed the blessings of God. But that lady chose that day to listen to the man of God. And you know what she done? She done exactly what he said to, even though she may not have understood it, even though it may not have made sense to her. She done exactly what he said to. Time out. Let's reach up into heaven and get that widow lady and bring her down and ask her this question: does it really pay to serve the Lord? You know what she would say? Oh yes, it really pays to serve the Lord. Let me tell you about a day that my boy died, but I got to the man of God and listened to the man of God, and God used the man of God to sustain my family and to save my family. It really pays to serve the Lord. I was preaching last night to probably, I don't know, 125, 150 men at a sportsman's banquet. And I got done preaching, I got in a truck and we started up the road. And whenever we started up the road, I thought in my mind, boy, it really does pay to serve the Lord. It really does pay to serve the Lord. We was in Utah just a few weeks ago, and we woke up that Saturday morning. It was late Friday night when we got there. Come start playing softly. Give them some hope. It was late that Friday night when we woke up Saturday morning. I showed the picture to several of y'all of the place we was staying at, and it was at 5,400 feet of elevation. And you was looking out over Logan, Utah, that valley there at Logan, Utah. And behind us was just those rolling mountains, Brother Lloyd. Mule deer on them and snow-capped. And, man, it was the most beautiful place I've ever been. I used to say England was, but I'm telling you, man, the snow-capped mountains of Utah, it's the most beautiful place I've ever been. And me and Olivia stood out there, was looking at it. And I looked over at her, and here's what I said. I said, "Serving Jesus is the reason we're here." You said, "Preacher, what are you saying?" I'm saying this: it really pays to serve God. When I look at the places God's let me go and the things that God's let me do down through the years in the ministry, it really pays to serve God. Let me tell you something you need to do this morning. You need to make a decision. I'm going to serve Him. I'm going lock, stock, and barrel. Y'all understand that, don't you? Whether anybody else does. And you need to make the choice to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I've said this many times, but I say it in closing. Anybody can quit. Anybody can get mad and leave. Anybody can throw in the towel. Now, I understand I completely understand there's times that God moves us. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about just quitting. I'm talking about going home and sitting on the couch and doing nothing. You know what you need to do? You need to determine today. 5 years from now, I'm still going to be in my place serving God. I'm going to serve Him, man. I'm going to serve Him. Watch what Joshua says. Here's what he says. Choose you this day whom you'll serve. And then he says this. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Before Joshua ever made a decision for his house, he had to make a decision for himself. And you men, listen to me for just a minute. I know it's not Father's Day, but listen to me. Before you can ever lead your house to serve God, you've got to choose to serve God. You've got to do it. It's got to be personal to you. It's not your wife's place to pray. Somebody say amen. It's not your wife's place to pray. It's not your wife's place to pray. Now, they sometimes at night, that I've preached somewhere and drove 2 or 3 hours home, and I get home, and the girls still won't pray together, and it's everything I can do to make it to the couch before I fall over, and I'll say, Leslie, pray. But when it's time for us to fervently get a hold of God, it's up to you as a husband to lead your family. I'm preaching good this morning. Your family's never going to serve Him until you choose to serve Him. Choose you this day whom you'll serve. If you're lost this morning, you're fixing to make a choice. You're going to accept Christ or you're going to reject Him. If you're here and you're saved and you're out of God's will, you're fixing to make a choice. You're going to find your place in an altar and say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. If you're here this morning and you're dilly-dallying around in some things that you know ain't right and it's not godly, you're fixing to make a choice. You're either going to surrender those things, you're going to get rid of Baal, and you're going to serve Him. Choose you this day. Some choices you're fixing to make. Father.